Welcome to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliott Price. Brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub.
There's a lead pass. In on Bo McDavid. Scores! 3-1 Canada!
Here's the 1-2 pitch from Martinez. Ball hit out into center field. Going back, Marquise Grissom. He's got it! Dennis Martinez has pitched a perfect game.
There's a shot. They score!
The 2-1 pitch. Cordero swings. Base hit. The Expos will win. The Expos will win. Cordero with a base hit to win the ball game in the bottom of the ninth inning.
The drought is over. Drink it in, Canada. World champions.
And now here's your host, Elliott Price.
Remember those old Rolaids commercials? They were tied in with baseball's closers. They named the award after those guys. You know, R-O-L-A-I-D-S. How do you spell relief? How do you spell liar? L-O-C-H-T-E. Ryan Lochte has spent almost half of his life trying to one-up Michael Phelps. Of course, for a brief moment, there he was, but no, that was just Elliott's pool mistake. Well, congrats, dyed gray hair man. You've done it. What's a DUI and pictures with a bong next to this escapade and the fallout? And the people you dragged along with you? Well, first, last week, there was the IOC's Mario Andretta.
First of all, we need to apologize to the tourists and to the athletes. They are our guests in Brazil, and we feel very sorry that they have been victims of a violent act and a robbery.
All right, that was just the beginning. And Mario, do a little homework, eh? Still no homework today? Oh, Mario!
No apologies from him or from the other athletes are needed. We need to understand that these kids were trying to have fun. They came here. They represented their country to the best of their ability. They trained for more, at least 4 years. They compete under a gigantic pressure. I understand that this issue is under investigation. I cannot go much further into the details, but let's give these kids a break. You know, they sometimes you take actions that you later regret. They are magnificent athletes. Lochte is one of the best swimmers of all times. They had fun. They made a mistake. It's part of life. Life goes on. Let's go.
It's tough, Ryan, to look more foolish than an IOC spokesman. You hung out the IOC, the Rio police, and you left the country before your buddies got dragged off the plane, having to explain what you made up. So here it is. Here's your story. We were robbed, I had a gun to my head, and the taxi driver set us up. And apparently that's American for we broke down a gas station restroom door and fought with a security guard after public urination. Utter and complete nonsense. Kind of reminded me of Monty Python's Stake Your Claim.
Good evening and welcome to Stake Your Claim. And first this evening, we have with us Mr. Norman Vowles of Gravesend, who claims he wrote all Shakespeare's works. Mr. Vowles, I understand you claim that you wrote all those plays normally attributed to Shakespeare.
And that is correct. I wrote all his plays, and my wife and I wrote his sonnets.
Mr. Vowles, these plays are known to have been performed in the early 17th century. How old are you, Mr. Vowles?
43.
Well, how is it possible for you to have written plays performed over 300 years before you were born?
Oh, well, this is where my claim falls to the ground. There's no possible way of answering that argument, I'm afraid. I was only hoping you would not make that particular point, but I can see you're more than a match for me.
Mr. Vowles, thank you very much for coming along.
My pleasure.
Next, we have Mr. Bill Wymus, who claims to have built the Taj Mahal.
No.
I'm sorry?
No.
I thought you claimed...
Well, I did, but I can see I won't last a minute with you.
Next...
I was right.
We have Mrs. Mittelschmerz of Dundee, who claims... Mrs. Mittelschmerz, what is your claim?
That I can burrow through an elephant.
Now, you've changed your claim, haven't you? You know we haven't got an elephant.
Oh, haven't you? Oh, dear.
You're not fooling anyone, Mrs. Mittelschmerz. In your letter, you quite clearly claimed that, you could be thrown off the top of Beachy Head into the English Channel and then be buried.
Now you can't read my writing.
It's typed.
says elephant.
Mrs. Middlesbrough, this is an entertainment show, and I'm not prepared to simply sit here bickering. Take her away, Heinz.
Here, no, bring it up.
And Monty Python. So, interesting opening. Nice to have you with us tonight. I'm Elliot Price. That's Grant Robinson over there. He's finishing off updates. Hey, look, when the Olympics are going on, something's happening every two seconds. So.
The hardest one is Damian Warner with these points in the decathlon. Yeah. It's not just finished second, right? It's the points they're adding up. So that one's going to change every time. But there's a lot today.
Okay.
It's a good day for Canada.
Keep you up to date on what's going on. This could be Canada's best day of the Olympics. And we could actually do something we've never done before. And that is two individual track medals on the same day. Never happened. Canadian history. Or it hasn't happened since the 30s or something like that. It never happens. So, great day. One is already in the books. A wrestling gold, yes?
Yep.
Very nice.
By Weeb, we have a gold today, a bronze. We're looking like there could be one bronze by Warner tonight. And then, obviously, Andre DeGrasse is potential. There's a lot going on today. Yeah. Brooke Henderson had a great day.
Oh, 64 Brooke Henderson fires. At one point, I'm listening, and she's two under, and Elena Sharp is one under. And then, all of a sudden, she shoots 64. Birdie, 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 birdie. And she is now medal contention. Hey. She's the third ranked in the world. She was second ranked in the world. And those are the people that are supposed to go out there on the second day of such a competition and shoot 64. And she did. So we're excited. And we'll certainly keep an eye on that. But that'll be tomorrow. We're keeping an eye on it. And so, that's so weird, you know, a golf tournament that runs Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Okay, I'm good with it.
It gave me something to watch today.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining.
No, great day. This is it's a lot of fun and only a couple of days left. And, of course, another one of those marquee events that coming up tonight. That's the 200 meters. And it'll be interesting with the bromance going on, which continued last night between our very own Andre DeGrasse and the greatest sprinter of all time, Usain Bolt. We'll talk baseball tonight. Coming up just after 8:30, Alex Agostino. He's scout with the Philadelphia Phillies. We'll talk about the Blue Jays and the pennant races going on and what a beauty they have in the American League East. That is going to go down to the wire. The Orioles, the Red Sox, and the Blue Jays separated by next to nothing. Paper thin, my friends. We'll have team number 15 in our National Football League countdown. Just after 9 o'clock tonight, we've already had the Browns, Niners, Titans, Ravens, Lions, Bucks, Chargers, Rams, Falcons, Bears, Dolphins, Washington, Eagles, Saints, Cowboys, Bills, and Jets. And so it's starting to get serious. These are all playoff contenders now and mostly playoff teams. So looking forward to that. And also from Sportsnet Central, the panel today, just the portion of conversation on how much hate is there in the Montreal Canadiens dressing room for Coach Therrien, if any. Or maybe that's the wrong way to ask the question. Is there any hate in the Canadiens dressing room? Because Dale Weiss, you know, the story, you know, that we had 3 weeks ago was written up somewhere else. And so Dale Weiss. Obviously, Dale Weiss has no hate for Michel Therrien. He might as well have signed the name on the bottom of the contract. He's the guy that gave him the ice time. He gave him power play time. He put him on the first line. He got him goals. He got him what did he sign for? $9.4 million?
And you even asked him straight up. You asked how appreciative were you?
Well, no, but I didn't ask him. I told him, right? I said, I'll bet you're one guy who's not going to be upset.
He said it instantly.
Why wouldn't he? That's the number one. Well, two reasons. One, Bergevin went out and got him. And two, Therrien played him. And he responded, but he played in areas where other coaches wouldn't have played him and gave him every opportunity to earn that contract. And he got it with the Flyers. Anyways, all that coming up tonight. Plus, of course, Grant's still writing. Tonight's opening face-off.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price. Tackling the latest headlines and the hottest topics, it's time for the opening face-off with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
You started off the show with it. There was no question that this was going to be part of the opening face-off. But late last night, the Ryan Lochte saga took a turn, to say the least. It came out that the robbery story was a lie and was all fabricated and is now rumored being indicted by the Brazilian police. People are saying that's not true now, but he's definitely in some trouble. It's come out he's 100% lied. You gave the details before, but essentially instead of being robbed at gunpoint, he was...
So do we know the order, right? Do people know the order of how this happened, right?
Well, I mean, they've put out stuff, but they're changing
details. Do you know the order of how this happened?
That he told his mom?
He told his mom this story, and she's the one that called the press. Okay, so...
But, okay.
Age-old American secret. Do not lie to your mom.
Well, and that's a fact.
Do not lie to mom. Bad idea. You will always get caught. Don't lie to mom.
Well, looking at it that way, right, and that's one of the arguments I was going to use that he did. But number one, how big of a deal is it, right?
It's a big deal. He's an idiot.
And, well, the second part of the question, how stupid is Lochte for thinking that he could get away with this? Now, the mom part, I'm with you. I get it. Who wants to? I've heard there's been girls with him. They might have girlfriends. You're clearly drunk and making a fool out of yourself, which we've all done in our lives, but you're 32 now, right?
But I understand whatever was going on it was all taken care of, right? It was done with.
But when your mom asks, why were you, maybe he was supposed to, I don't know what it is. You don't have a curfew at 32. You're across the world. Why he felt the need to lie, I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't get
it. But I understand not wanting to tell your mom what happened. I get that.
You know what he should have done?
Go.
He should have called Josh Donaldson and asked him for a better story.
Yeah, Josh Donaldson or Ray Donovan. One of the two. They could have figured it out. But what my problem is once the media comes to you, now your mom was probably getting interviewed. It makes sense. You're in the Olympics. You're one of the stories. Media is always looking for a story, right? I get that. When they came up to you, you don't go and add on to this. Something in your head has to click. If I tell everybody I was robbed at gunpoint, this is going to be a huge story and all over the TV. And maybe the people that I almost got arrested by yesterday and that held me are going to see this on Brazilian news and call me out. I have blue hair. I'm an Olympic swimmer.
Gray. He has gray hair.
Well, he says he dyed it blue, and I agree. It's gray.
All right.
But how do you think you're not going to get noticed? And then all you had to say was, I was just joking with my mom. It was a prank on my mom, sorry. And then you call your mom, you apologize, you say the truth. This guy, he knew he wasn't getting away with it. He left right away and left them to stay. How'd you feel about his friends ratting him out right away?
Didn't rat him out. They told the truth.
Yeah, it wasn't we made up the lie. It was all Lochte. It was all locked in.
Well, he's the one who told his mom, but he didn't make up. He told his mom the story. And even worse, because first he goes on television and on the Today Show, right? And retells the story.
Well, exactly.
And then yesterday.
Changed it up a bit.
And does an interview with Matt Lauer on USA Today. And he tells a little bit of a changed story, so he edited it a bit. And how did you think at this point that they weren't? They got your buddies over
there.
How
he thought he could have outsmarted everybody boggles my mind. That's the only thing I'll say about it. And I heard people comparing this to Manti Te'o, right? That's different. That's somebody tricked him right? This is Ryan Lochte thinking he's smart enough to outsmart everybody. I don't know if you ever saw his reality show. I don't believe it was based on being smart. I'm pretty sure it was the opposite. So
I think he proved that. wow.
This won't be the end of that, I'm sure. But look, moving on from that to something that was great news today.
Nice that some of us can move on.
Brooke Henderson had a huge day today and is now only two back of the lead. If she ends up winning this, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but that's what we do here. We look at what could happen. And if she ends up winning this and gets the Olympic gold, do you think this is more important than when she won a major?
Yes.
Well, a lot of people are saying it doesn't matter, right? Olympic golf doesn't matter. Majors are, look at Rory McIlroy.
No.
Doesn't care about going.
No, because they're all there. All the top women are there.
So it's different.
And as I said yesterday, the men's gold, it's not the same. The majors for the men are so entrenched. The Masters.
They're national. Everybody knows about them.
The PGA. The U.S. Open. Right? They are up there. The women's majors need to be pushed to that direction. I think winning the gold medal at the Olympics would be the top. Does anybody, I know you're big fans out there. Does anybody know who won the British Open? The women's British Open? Does anybody? And so
I'll bet you
a whole lot of people are going to know who won the gold medal at the Olympics.
Financially,
I think it's she doesn't need the money.
Well,
financially,
it's a no.
They're pros,
but
golf it doesn't. Yeah,
she's going to be all over Canadian news. Yeah. She's already becoming a household name, but this would be talked about for 4 years, right? Yeah. And maybe if they don't put golf back in, you're the defending title holder forever. Who knows? But I think it'd be huge. Just sticking with that, Mike Weir's major was obviously huge.
Yes.
If she wins a gold, I'm not saying it's better than that, but I would put it in the category. I would think that golf-wise, a lot of people don't care about the Masters. What percent of people do you think care about the Masters? People who play golf and watch golf. That's it, right?
It doesn't matter. It's like comparing a gold medal at the Olympics in baseball to winning the World Series.
It's different.
And so
I just think it'd be huge, and I would love to see it, and it would definitely help her
career. It's not the Masters.
Fair. Well, that was the question I was asking.
It's not
so
the Masters.
Big, but it's the biggest thing in women's golf.
I think it's the biggest thing in women's golf.
There you go.
It would work for me.
Sticking with kind of comparing things in that sense and how important
which major she won this year?
She won wasn't it just the Open?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
I think it was just the Open.
If it was the Masters, you'd know, wouldn't you?
I don't know the
she
majors.
She won the U.S. Open, right? But we should know this, okay? That's true. Five majors, and
I only started paying attention
right
once we had somebody in it. I'll be honest with that. Okay. But sticking with this theme, if Andre DeGrasse tonight, again, getting ahead of ourselves, if he's able to medal again tonight in the 200 meters, I don't care if it's gold, silver, bronze, whatever he gets, how big would that be for Team Canada? Where does that rank? Where he'd do one in the 100 meters and one in the 200 meters.
Where does it rank?
How important, how big is it?
It's as big as Oleksiak, because they are gold 4 years from now.
They have a great chance.
It means that we have the top athletes in their sport
At
their age.
And they shouldn't be where they are right now. They're showing us signs. I will say this. I think it's two medals, even if he gets two bronzes, or a bronze and a silver tonight.
He's going to win the silver
tonight.
I would
say that's up gold we have.
I have this feeling that not only is he going to win the silver, but there's going to be a pretty good gap behind him.
Well, we've probably seen it's been there.
In front of him. We know that. But he's the NCAA champion. At this distance, as he was at the 100, and a couple of Gatlin's gone, and there's a couple of guys gone.
I think he ran great.
I just think that he's gonna blow past everybody to win.
I won't be disappointed if he doesn't. I mean, he, like you said, he's 4 years from now that we're waiting for. But I really do think, like I said, his two bronzes would be bigger than any other gold we have. I really do think because it's 100 meter.
His two bronzes will be settled down, boy.
But think about this. The 100 meter and the 200 meter are the premier events. It's like when Team Canada wins in hockey, right? It matters.
No.
I think
his bronzes are not better than Drouin's gold.
No, I'm not saying. I'm just saying it's on a world stage.
Yes.
Nobody's going to remember if you're not Canadian Derek Dwight 2 years from now.
Yes, they are.
High jumpers, people who appreciate it, absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, Andre DeGrasse doing this and the way he's doing it is becoming I'm not, obviously, a gold is better. There's no question. I just mean it's in those events, it's not easy. And you're against Usain Bolt. It's pretty. If he gets a silver, I'll be shocked. I will be very like happy.
No.
He's at the beginning of the Olympics. I mean, right now it looks like it, but again, it looked like Team Canada Soccer was going to go right.
He's not Team Canada Soccer.
Okay, last question. This one you brought it up yourself actually in that last one.
Who's doing this?
Penny Oleksiak.
Yes.
Andre Degrasse.
Yes.
If he wins in this, and he wins in
if
the
he wins the
not
gold
wins
in
like
this?
A silver, bronze, whatever.
Oleksiak's already bringing in the flag. We already know.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because if he gets all three,
the country loves her.
That's fair. And you know what? She is 16.
Yeah.
I think that it's a very... They're both interesting and kind of similar stories
time. The thing is that it's not an every time thing. So there's a real good chance whoever brings it in here, the other's bringing it in 4 years from now.
And I'm fine with that.
That's the way it works.
The only thing I will say, you've mentioned this yourself on the show before. If you want to get a lot of medals, what sport are you supposed to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Swimming, right?
Yeah.
If Andre Degrasse gets three and there's only three events,
yep.
I'm just saying he has an argument, and I have no problem with Penny Oleksiak bringing it in.
I tell you what, if he beats Bolt...
Oh, if he beats Bolt, I'll carry him back home myself. We'll head over there. We'll carry him home from Brazil.
You'll be arrested.
We're not American. We're Canadian. I know. Everybody loves us.
While you're there, you think you could get those American swimmers home?
I think it's time. I think it's time they go.
All right. And that's it. Our voices portion of this program a little bit later on. We'll be talking baseball in the not-too-distant future. We got Alex Agostino coming on. Great races in Major League Baseball. And, of course, so we'll keep you up to date with a fantastic night of Olympics and what could be Canada's best day ever in the Summer Olympics. We'll let you know.
The opening face-off with Elliott Price and Grant Robinson.
I had lunch at Lester's Deli. Well, yeah, Bill wasn't feeling well. He missed a day of work. He didn't just miss a day of work. This is Cal Ripken, for crying out loud. This is this has got to break some 40-year streak or something. Bill, I hope you're feeling better and that you're back. He probably went in like tonight, you know? Probably went in for the evening shift. So I don't know if he sat out the entire game. You know, he might have come in the fifth inning as a pinch runner or a pinch hitter and hit a two-run homer late in the game. We'll take a break, and don't forget, we're talking baseball. We'll also hear from the impact from Coach Mauro Biello. Drogba and the team's been complaining about the refereeing. They got a beef. And Drogba wasn't at practice today. What's going on there? We'll find out this hour as we continue with Sportsnet Tonight with Elliott Price on CFMB 1280 AM in Montreal.
Elliott
Price.
C'est moi.
Elliott.
I'm the guy.
There is not any man like him anywhere in the world.
You're tuned in to Sportsnet Tonight.
Ding, ding, ding.
With Elliott Price.
Elliott Price.
On 1280 AM, Montreal.
Oh, it's a deep burn.
Sportsnet Tonight.
Oh.
Elliott Price.
Elliott.
It's on me.
Elliott.
I'm the guy. I.
Always nice to catch up with Alex Agostino, scout with the Philadelphia Phillies, and one of the people who has put together Baseball Empire. You can find them at baseballempire.com. Coming to the end of that summer season, but there's a lot going on. Hi, Alex. How are you?
Hey, doing very good. How's it going, Elliot?
It's going all right. So what happens now? I mean, the summer camps are coming to an end. Geez, kids are going back to school in a week and change. So what happens at Baseball Empire once baseball is over for the season and school kicks up, but you can still keep busy?
Yes, sir. Well, what we do is we have a 15-week training program that starts around the middle to late October. So a lot of kids are going to be finishing their provincial tournaments or their little league tournaments right now. They're going to school. A lot of kids are doing some fall ball. So we are very busy in the fall with our jobs as a scout. But my partner, Ivan Nakarada, following the Blue Jays and helping Russell Martin as his personal business manager. So we do not have time in September. But as soon as these kids are done with their fall, have rested a little bit, we take over the training program, and that is going to be on the website in probably first week of September. Yep, and that's where we basically let the people know. We're going to be on the South Shore in Brossard and St. Bruno and Boucherville, and we're going to be in Terrebonne and Laval. So a couple of new places this year, and we're very excited to see the future kids coming to train.
BaseballEmpire.com. If you're looking for them, you mentioned Ivan Nakarada and Russell Martin. It was a tough few months for Russell Martin, but hey, look who's getting hot at the right time. He's beating the drum of base hits and long ball out there right now in the Blue Jays. It's going to be an exciting run for the next 6 weeks.
Well, Elliot, you know, it's not where you start, but where you finish. And in Russell Martin's case, knowing the individual, the type of makeup that he has, the type of person that he is, where, you know, everybody wants to start on a better note, and he had a real tough start, but people don't understand also, you know, Russell Martin is a catcher, has been playing every day in the big leagues for 10 years. There's a lot of things that go on in the background where you might be playing with a sore groin, a sore neck here and there, and you're not 100%. The way he trained all winter, to me, has prepared him to end the year the way he's going right now. So it's a bonus for the Jays because he's there for his defensive prowess and helping the pitchers because, again, a team that Russell Martin is on, where's their pitching staff? I think they're one or two in ERA in the American League. So, and when he can contribute with the bat, it's even better because as a catcher, there's not tons of guys who can combine like the defensive prowess that he gives and the clutch hitting because the home run he hit against the Astros when they were down 2-1, you know, they were struggling, they weren't scoring runs. That was a big, big win. And since that time, he's been hot. The Jays have been winning games. Oops, the Red Sox and Orioles are scuffling here and there. So it's a very interesting end of the year for Russell. And again, I think this is 11th year in the big leagues. And if things keep going the way they are, it'll be his 9th year that he's in the playoffs. So, I mean, he's part of that.
Talking with Alex Agostino about baseball and the pennant races, and it's pretty amazing. You know, you look at the Toronto Blue Jays, it's very possible they're going to lead the major leagues in attendance this year. And it just shows you, if you put something in, you get something back. There are organizations that you would think, and look, Pittsburgh Pirates were the same thing. You know, when they started to put some money into the organization and started having better teams, yeah, one of the prettiest ballparks in the entire major leagues, if not the nicest. Man, people will come to see a good baseball team.
That's for sure. And I mean, the Toronto Blue Jays, I mean, a few years ago, they were scuffling. Fans weren't going out there. Now on a Monday or a Tuesday, you're getting 40, 45,000. But why? Because of the move that Anthopoulos has done last year. I mean, it's you get a Tulowitzki. Even though Price was only there for a little while, you brought in a buzz. And then the team starts off on a good note, and you're contending every year. Toronto is a big market. There's a lot of population, so it was very easy for the fans to hop on. There's not much else going on sports-wise. So, I mean, other teams should look at that. I mean, I know that maybe Milwaukee's not Toronto and some other smaller venues are not what Toronto is in terms of market capacity. But, boy, a lot of people were complaining about the prospects that the Blue Jays gave up last year. Maybe some of them will be outstanding, but that's part of an organization. When you have a scouting department that brings in players, a development staff that develops them, they can't all play in your big league staff. So when you have to trade some for Tulowitzki's of the world, you know, for getting a David Price to change the momentum of your season last year, you know, more power to them, because I don't think a lot of people are remembering the names that were traded last year. If they would do that trade again, it's a resounding yes. I mean, even though there's a new regime in place right now, and as a matter of fact, today was a little bit of a sad day in the scouting department for the Jays, because I think Mr. Parker, Brian Parker, and one of his top aides were let go by the Blue Jays. And Shapiro and Atkins are basically, you know, putting their stamp on this team. But it's so fun for baseball in Canada. You know, like, I'm not a Toronto Blue Jay fan. I'm a baseball fan working for a team in the National League. But I can see the fever even across Quebec, where you see T-shirts, hats, Russell Martin, Tulowitzki, you know, Josh Donaldson, who's a polarizing individual, who's great to watch, who's intense and fun to watch. So to me, what they've done in the last year and a half is they've revitalized baseball all across the country.
And it's amazing because, you know, it had to be scary in Toronto. We saw that direction here in Montreal. And for a while in Toronto, it certainly looked like they were, not that they were going to lose their baseball team, but we certainly could recognize what was happening there.
Oh, yeah, you could see some 18,000 and 15,000 on a Monday night against Tampa or against teams that are, you know, not the Yankees or Red Sox. So you're like, wow. But give credit here, and maybe the fact that Alex Anthopoulos and Paul Beeston were at the last year of their contracts, they were still able to get the okay from the owners to go for what they did last year and, you know, sign Russell Martin. Of course, the trade of Laurie and Donaldson, that really, really went in the favor of the Jays. And then getting Tulowitzki, who had a big contract, but also getting rid of Jose Reyes. And that, don't forget that you got rid of Reyes' contract on that. You know, and Price only cost you, what, 2 months of salary. So, I mean, you're able to get a draft picked out of him because you didn't sign him. And that just changed because Toronto, it's like Montreal, but bigger. If you don't put a product out there, why am I going to go? But if you put a product and you have players who are, I mean, you see them on TV, and it's Rogers Sportsnet. They're big. You know, they're all over. The commercials are great. So the fans seem to identify with the Russell Martin, the Tulos, and the Josh Donaldson, you know. And you got your young stars coming up, the Stroman, the Aaron Sanchez. You got Osuna, pitch, you know, closing out there. So there's a mix of good youngsters and some veterans in there with Batista and Encarnacion, who I haven't talked about. But, you know, this is their time. And if they can get hot at the right time of the year, what you don't want, Elliot, is to play that wild card game, you know, Boston or Baltimore, because one game, you never know what can happen. So if they can get in there and sneak into first place, because they're a game and a half up right now with 40 games left, if they can get in there and then prepare their season, they have the experience of last year where they won a series but also lost a very intense series to the Kansas City Royals. At least these players, not all of them are like Russell Martin. A lot of them was their first time around in the playoffs. Well, they'll be more prepared to go to combat.
Talking baseball with Alex Agostino, scout with the Philadelphia Phillies. I guess you'd have to say, when you're talking about surprises, the Los Angeles Dodgers, they were way back of the San Francisco Giants, and they built their record on Clayton Kershaw. So when Kershaw goes down, it pretty much means the Dodgers are about to die. But the opposite has happened. What the heck happened in L.A.? They had so many pitchers hurt, and losing Kershaw, that should have been the death knell. That should have been it.
Baseball. That's all I can answer. The word is baseball because it's a team sport. There's 25 guys. And as good as Clayton Kershaw is, he's a pitcher who goes out there once every 5 days. He's not on the mound 5 days out of the week. He's only out there
but
once.
Alex,
but then you got like Kenta Maeda, yeah. Kenley Jansen. They've done the job. And what about Corey Seager? I mean, these young players, even though they have new leadership, you know, with Don Mattingly gone, you got Justin Turner hitting 22 home runs. I mean, Gonzalez still hitting, not as much pop as in the past, but they've done it as a team and not as an individual. And if they can get Kershaw back, that would be one hell of a boost and a jolt for them. But, I mean, that's what it is. It's when a team comes together, you know, you have the coaching staff there that says, okay, listen, we lost Kershaw, but he only goes out there once every 5 times. And that's the beauty of baseball. You can lose a superstar, you can trade a David Price, you can trade a Ken Griffey Jr., but your team can still win if the guys perform.
And, of course, that coincides with the San Francisco Giants all of a sudden falling off the face of the earth. How is it possible?
Yep.
The San Francisco Giants had the best record in baseball, and since then they have the worst record in baseball. That's a lot of teams to be able to say that. It's amazing. It really is. That's crazy off the charts.
Well, they surprised me the way they started, because in the start of the year, my little projections for fun, I did not have the Giants making the playoffs this year, even though it's an even year and they're supposed to win a World Series every other year. But the way I'm looking at it, I was like, okay, these guys got off to such a great start. And, you know, Madison Bumgarner is the same thing. He can only go out there one time. And I love Brandon Crawford, you know, and Brandon Belt and Buster Posey. And they're all those three are having a good year. But pitching after Bumgarner, they might not have had, you know, what I would call the depth that the Dodgers were able to pull out. Even though Johnny Cueto, their acquisition, really went out and, you know, did a good job. But, you know, their bullpen has always been a little bit iffy. And sometimes you get a little complacent, Elliot. You know, you start playing and I'm winning, it's going to be easy. We're 6-7 games up on the Dodgers. The Padres are going nowhere. The Rockies aren't doing anything. And we'll go from here. And all of a sudden you look around and the Dodgers have made that run. And they're going to have to start playing better baseball. I think they can. They have good manager in Bruce Bochy, but I think some of the players might be getting a little tired, and you can't always rely on Buster Posey or one or two guys. So it's going to be an interesting finish, but the good thing for the Giants is, you know, they're still a good position for the wild card race. The only thing is that's a one-game thing. Of course, if you have Bumgarner during that game, he's almost unbeatable in the playoffs, and that's what the Giants want, is to get in, because once they get in, it seems like Bruce Bochy always pushes, you know, the right buttons and helps that team win games. And like I said, Bumgarner finds a way to win two or three games per series.
All right, so before we let you go, the magic that is the Chicago Cubs running away with things. Everybody knows how long it's been since the Cubs won a World Series and the curse, and something's bound to happen somewhere along the way. I had Kyle Hendricks to protect in my pool, and I never gave him a second thought. Like, why? Why would you protect Kyle Hendricks? And here's a guy with a 2-1-9. I mean, you look at the people they're paying money to, right? Lester and Arrieta and Hamill. Yeah. And Hendricks is their best pitcher, striking people out, not giving up hits. He doesn't walk people. He's as good as anybody in the National League. This is crazy.
Elliot, I'm glad you talked about Hendricks, Kyle Hendricks, because I know him a little bit. I saw him pitch three times in college in his junior year at Dartmouth College. I was on that kid with the Phillies. I was all over him. But the Texas Rangers took him in the seventh round, and I guess my bosses, him being an Ivy League guy back then, was like more like eighth, ninth round. And he was traded for Ryan Dempster. He's always been a pitcher. Even at, you know, he's striking out guys. He was never an overpowering guy.
Yeah, right.
When I saw him pitch in college, I saw him in Florida, then I saw him at home at Dartmouth. And this guy, after I met with him at the complex there in Dartmouth, New Hampshire, I was like, this is a kid. This is a big league person also. He has a clue. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to pitch. He knows how to add and subtract when he pitches. And it might have took him a little while, you know, drafted by Texas, then traded to Chicago for a Ryan Dempster. Look at that today. Ryan Dempster, I think, is like a consultant with the Cubs, and Hendricks is still there. And he's, like you said, you got the Arriettas, you got the Lesters, you got all these guys. And Kyle Hendricks is the one whose his name is coming up, almost talking like Cy Young type numbers and Cy Young type votes. So when your plan is working for the Cubs, like your young guys like Rizzo, Bryant doing the job, you went to get your Lesters, good trade with Arrieta. You make a trade like that in a Hendricks, you saw something more than a fifth starter. Well, when that comes together and everybody's healthy, well, that's the stats that they're giving us with 77 wins already. So I'm very happy for Kyle Hendricks because I saw him. I met the young man. I mean, met his folks down in Florida during one of their spring trips. The coach, Bob Whalen, spoke extremely highly of this kid, and it's rare. You know, I think the other Dartmouth College pitcher we might know is Jim Beatty, who made it to the big leagues, and there maybe been a few other ones, but Hendricks is really making a name for himself, Elliot.
All right. In that case, that was going to be the last question, but now I have to ask you another one. No, because I was reading, I forget which book I was reading. It was, must have been Moneyball, I don't remember. Where players end up in the draft, and of course, the St. Louis Cardinals end up with a late draft pick, and he ends up to be like the Hall of Famer, right? And so who's the guy, who's your guy? Who's the guy that you saw, that you recommended, that they didn't get, and to this day you're going, that was my guy?
Well, that's the easiest question I have to answer. In the year 2000, look up the draft, the Montreal Expos. We drafted Russell Martin. I drafted him as one of my, you know, first Quebecers, and I started in 95 with the Expos. And in a small sampling, Elliot, and that's, you know, when you scout, you make a lot of mistakes. But in 95, we drafted Pete LaForest. And then after 2 months with us in the minor leagues, our doctors let him go for bulging discs. He made the big leagues. We drafted Eric Sear, a kid from Montreal, from Rosemont, that we drafted him because Alex works hard. We didn't sign. He made the big leagues. You know, we drafted Sean Hill, who made the big leagues and all that. We also, you know, drafted Russell Martin. And he was a 31st or 32nd round pick, 17-year-old kid from NDG, telling my bosses, we can sign this kid. He's going to Chipola Junior College. We can follow him for a year. This is a kid, along with his buddy who I drafted that same year, Ivan Nakarada, who is still close with Russell and is my business partner with Baseball Empire. You're like, Russell Martin, the Montreal Expos decided to not offer him a contract, even after my, you know, not begging, but close to it. And probably the best thing that happened to him, because he went one more year to college. Dodgers took him in the 17th round. But when I'm asked that question, I'm like, that's pretty easy. There's a lot of other American names as you go through. It's just a question of timing, where you wanted the guy, but the other team picked before you, you know, and you've taken some guys here and there. But Russell Martin eats at me because we were the Montreal Expos. It was the year 2000. And why can't we take a kid like that? He's not going to cost $1 million. He wants to play for the Expos. He's an athlete. We could take this guy. We've had some success the last few years taking Canadian guys, you know, LaForest, Eric Sear, Sean Hill making the big leagues. Why not Russell? They thought he was a college player, and that was it. Unfortunately, those bosses went on to be the Marlins bosses, and a little quick side step here, a couple of years later, one of my bosses, the Marlins, says, hey, did we really draft Russell Martin? We're trying to get him in a trade. He's in AA, and the Dodgers don't want to give him up. I said, yeah, we could have had him pretty cheap, and he would have been, maybe we'd still be in Montreal. So we missed that one. That's just the way baseball goes, Elliot.
Alex Agostino, always a pleasure. We'll talk again soon.
Take care.
Russell Martin, Montreal Expos. Stop it! You're killing me! What? Why? Why you got to do that on a Thursday night in the middle of August when the Blue Jays are in first place in the American League East? All right, there's a whole lot going on. Don't forget, we have team number 15 in our National Football League countdown. You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson, CFMB 1280 Montreal. Daniel Kalis will join us around 9:10. With team number 15 in our National Football League countdown as we continue until the eve of opening day in the NFL when we will unveil our number one team. That will be September 7th because on the 8th, the National Football League. This is crazy. 15 more working days, 14 more shows before the National Football League season opens up. We better get our National Football League pool going, and so we can send people to Lester's Deli for a great meal. You want to get in on the pool? We'll let you know about it coming up in the next couple of days. A lot of voices. I don't know. We got enough time? We'll take a break. We'll come back, including Mauro Biello. And who else? Who else are we going to hear from here? Oh, the answer, right? Because we heard from Josh Donaldson yesterday, right? About the cologne and the throwing of the bat. So John Gibbons. Got to hear from John Gibbons. That's coming up. Time for voices. Haven't had an opportunity to do this earlier in the show. It's kind of jumbled all over the place, but I hope entertaining on your end. Yesterday we heard from Josh Donaldson. Did you see it? Certainly the entire country has seen the video by now. Donaldson, not a good at bat, goes back to the dugout, throws the bat, and manager John Gibbons comes over, giving him a talking to, and then it gets heated, and eventually Tulowitzki comes between the two of them and has to separate them. And Donaldson, I don't know if he thought this up, like, between the fight and when the press got to him, but great response, great actor, he's ready.
You're a pretty intense player, and you know sometimes the cameras catch things, and they caught you getting a little bit angry there. Can you maybe explain your take of what happened there?
You know, I mean, I just come back to the dugout and hit my bat against the thing, and you know, Gibby asked me what kind of cologne I was wearing, and I said, it's this new cologne called Tom Ford. I just got it. He's like, really? Oh, so he kind of got pretty close to me, and I guess got a good whiff of it, and I was like, hey, man, back up. So I was like, I'll give you some after the game. So then we separated.
Is that when Tulowitzki jumped in to get a smell as well?
Yeah, he wanted to. I think he liked it too. Yeah.
So if any of us want to get a sniff, we're in trouble, right?
Yeah, just don't get too close. You're in a good space right now.
So there you go. So that was Josh Donaldson responding in a humorous way to defuse the situation. But he's not the only guy involved, right? There's the manager as well. So you got to ask John Gibbons, what's going on there, my friends?
What happened in the dugout between the two of you?
Maybe that's none of your business. Well, actually, you know, I told him after the first at bat, you know, get a new bat. That one ain't working. I took the same one up there the second time. That didn't work. He chose to break it. So I went down and told him. Should have listened to me. That was basically it.
Did he? He had to
get a new one. John, no big deal. That's it.
Great question by the reporter. Did he get a new one? Like, no, he went out there with the broken bat. Come on. Did you hear him regret his question as soon as he said it? I think the reporter realized as he said, did he get...
Oh, yeah, you should have heard the next question.
Oh, it was just awful.
The next question was, tell us about the improvements J.A. Happ has made to make him a better pitcher. And Gibbons was all over him. Oh, do we have to do this again? Look, I apologize, but I've answered this question 20 times today. You know, you don't want to be the last guy into the manager's office asking a question that, anyways. You're going to like this. This is something that happened yesterday. UFC 202, Diaz and McGregor.
But it's
his brother, right?
Nate and Nick were both walking by, yeah.
All right, so the Diazes and McGregor's at the mic, and it's more visual than
you'll get the gist of it.
You will.
The gist of it, there's water bottles being thrown.
If not,
there's...
Grant will come in and explain to you what's going on while you're listening. So leave Grant's mic up. You might have something
to
say.
Bleeps in there, right?
What's that?
Did you put some... Okay.
The bleeps are in there. Not to worry. Yes.
Okay, go on.
The bleeps are in.
Go on.
Your whole team. Little crackhead SS. You're doing nothing.
Super Smash Diaz!
Right now, the Diaz brothers are... I don't know if you've ever seen Nate
Diaz.
Shut
your mouth, you'll do nothing. You'll do nothing. Not one of you will do nothing. Get the out of here. Get the out of here.
Now's where the water bottles.
Hey, he's going to pick up stuff and start throwing them, like big things.
He would have went for a chair because they don't like each other right now.
You.
But you know this is selling, right?
That's all right. Hey, Connor, don't throw those... Connor.
That's my favorite part.
That's a wrap.
Dana White having zero control over him. Now.
All right.
Goes on like that. But now, McGregor is better at anybody in the business, and maybe any business, at promoting things. This guy won 3 fights. Came out of nowhere, won 3 fights, and became the biggest thing. He's lost once, and he's still the biggest moneymaker in the UFC because of stuff like this. He knows how to... Does he really hate Nate Diaz? Maybe, maybe not. But I do know that McGregor is risking kind of everything fighting him and to gain nothing, right? You don't get a belt. It's only if you lose to him twice, your whole invincibility act is gone. And they just want to beat each other up. I love it. I can't wait.
All right.
I will be watching, for sure.
Of course you will. All right, did you know Letitia Beck? She's a professional golfer for Israel. Here with our Marika Washchishin.
Golf is coming back to the Olympics, which is history in itself. Tell me about how that makes you feel.
Well, I tell people in general that I'm so used to kind of making history for golf in Israel because ever since I was, you know, a junior golfer, I was always the first one because we never had anyone before me. But obviously, Olympics is, you know, something unreal, and I don't really have words to describe it because just being on, like, the biggest stage in the world and, you know, showing, you know, representing my country and my family was just something unreal, and it's just something that I'm so proud of.
If you had to choose, would you rather win a gold medal or a major on the LPGA Tour.
You know, we don't have many gold medals, so that would be like a huge thing for Israel. And we never had a, you know, a major winner or a winner in general. So I don't, I wouldn't have an answer.
You want to do it all?
Yeah, both.
There you go. Answered your question. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, okay, so not really. Yeah. Didn't really answer.
She's not close to winning either of them right now.
Oh, come on, give her a break.
No, she's you know, working her way to the top. She's now one of the top 10 players in the world.
Fair.
So I'm just saying, that it wasn't a shot.
I thought you were taking a little jab at her. I was like, give the girl a break.
I would not do that. On the radio. Okay, so here we go. Didn't get an opportunity to do this yesterday. We know what big fans you are of. What the hell are they talking about? Here's edition number 11. Making fun of Grant and I, and we haven't heard it. Now we will. Forget about it. That's when the luck ran out. And this one may be headed to the dumpster as well. Have you ever had a sour tomato? An assortment of non-arm-related injuries after a number of years of torture in a very precarious position, as opposed to the other way around.
That sounds terrible. Now, obviously, it can't physically be done yet. Your leverage is gone.
You find a way. So much this way and so much that way. There really isn't bigger. Pickles?
I get it. Playing with younger guys.
That's when you take them. We take that ask, turn it into a younger, cheaper ask to replenish the pickles.
But you better be sure that you can.
You don't have to be perfectly honest. But it's an enhancement.
You got to get the pickle. The pickle is key, right? You be that big body in front. No?
All right, go ahead.
I feel like I'm okay with it. Don't worry. Well, you're a team here.
All right.
I'm not arguing. I like the pickle, and for good reason.
But tell me why.
$356. And I really was like, okay, he's going to slow down. So I'll give him a little nod there.
Everywhere I see this story, it seems to be, yeah, what is that? There's no way I want heartbreak. Look, there's an order to things, right? If you have something that somebody else wants, I mean, what are you going to do? Well, what do we do? Well, we know what we do. I like it. Okay, that's the bottom line. When's that 200 coming up? 915?
930, I believe they said.
930. My goodness. Somebody just won a race by plenty. What is this?
It's the 1,200 meters. It's the last event of the decathlon.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
Which I could pretty much guarantee you, if this just happened, what we saw is that Damian Warner will at least win a medal now. That was the last event.
Okay.
He finished fourth in the race.
Right.
I don't know who was behind him, but the German was right behind him. He didn't pass him. We'll tell you the points in a few seconds, but it looks like Canada has won another medal.
All right. Canada has... I'm not sure which it is. Canada has either never won two individual track medals on the same day, or they haven't since 1930-something or other. So whatever it is, it's either never happened or it's been 80-something years, which is pretty much, for most of us, never happened. All right. Grant will have an update coming up, and then we'll get to team number 15 in our National Football League countdown, and we await the 200 with Andre DeGrasse, and we'll tell you all about that.
Elliot.
So you're an expert.
That's right, tough guy.
Hey! Who is your daddy?
Elliot.
And what does he do?
Zippo. Nada.
Hey!
Elliot.
Elliot. C'est
moi. Elliot. You're an expert.
Yes.
Elliot.
Hey!
Sportsnet Tonight with
Elliot Price.
You're not an expert.
Right here on 1280 AM, Montreal.
What do you mean I'm not an expert?
He's got a rocket for an arm. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
Aucune idée.
It should be a very busy night tomorrow night. Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price. We now have confirmation. Our favorite guest will be joining us. I'm going to hurt anybody's feelings, you know, because now all the guys who think they're favorite think they're on tomorrow night. Gabriel Morenci will join us tomorrow as we get ready for UFC 202. And we'll see about all that hype and nonsense that went on yesterday. That got Grant so hyped he could barely sleep. I'm going to watch that. You'll love that stuff, eh?
I've been waiting. McGregor, yeah. Look, I like the UFC, but there's... Look, Usain Bolt, the 100-meter dash is always good, right? But when Usain Bolt runs it, does it not add something extra? Someone with character, someone with... That makes it exciting to watch. He's got showmanship, and McGregor has that. And there's nothing... It makes me nervous watching it, because if you're a fan of him and he talks that much trash, when you lose... It just hurts worse.
Huh? I don't care who wins and who loses. And much like I felt about wrestling, I enjoy the stories around it, the fights itself. Eh.
And we're going to find out about John Jones, what's happening That's with
right.
that. So,
all right.
We'll see.
Coming up tomorrow night, amongst other things, and a whole bunch of soccer, of course, because the Impact play on the weekend. So Giovanni Sarda will join us, and we hope to have Jorge Sanchez talking about a Canadian bronze medal as Canada takes on France in the Olympics. Meanwhile, the Impact play on the weekend, as I said, no drug, but today in practice, Coach Mauro Biello, what's the deal?
Yeah, I mean, he called in this morning and said he wasn't feeling good, a little bit under the weather, and... you know, we'll see exactly where he's at. The doctors will have a look and go see. And, you know, if he's weak and has a virus, and obviously, you know, we're not going to put him in that condition to play. It's only normal. You know, we're going to see where he's at. Is it just, you know, a little bit under the weather, or is it really he's got a virus and he needs antibiotics? So we'll assess all that after training and today and see where he's at, and then we'll...
Impact coach Mauro Biello, no doubt the team not happy about the officiating in the game they lost on the weekend on the road, and certainly somebody who has done more than their share of complaining has been DJ Drogba. So the question for Coach Biello today was, does Drogba have a beef complaining about all the abuse he's been getting?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, when you review it, and you see that he's 6'2", and he's a big guy, he could take that. No, it's not the case. He's a big guy, and you foul him, it's a foul. And in the end, a foul is the same, whether it's Jovinko, Vila, or Didier Drogba. A defender should not be allowed to climb up on his back to try to win the header, you know, just because it's Didier. And I think that's, you know, that's something that in the end we hope could improve, because the PK on Colin was 100% in my opinion. And, you know, you could look at it any which way, but when you look at it and you see it, it's a PK, and Colin's out of that game, and the game is different. It's penalty shot for us, and they're a man down. So in the end, you know, these are things that happen within the league. I know it evens off at the end of the day, but, you know, a guy like Didier attracts a lot of attention. And, you know, in the end, we want that respect and that he should be getting.
Drogba carves up a lot of teams, but Chicago specifically, it just seems every time you guys play them, you know, there's a hat trick last year, and a goal earlier this year, he set one up too. Does that affect game plan? Assuming he can go, does that affect your game plan and how you
So there you go, complaining about the officials, and Drogba has a beef, according to his coach. Meanwhile, Mauro Biello talking about the women's team and the disappointment of not playing for gold.
It's disappointing that they could have went for gold, and in the end, I think they had some very good performances, the women's team. I think they were always very organized on the field, and... I think the other day, I think Germany was the better team and was able to come out on top. But it's encouraging to see that in Canada, the women's team is always in contention to perform and do well. And, you know, hopefully that could help our men's program a little bit, and maybe we could grow like the women's program grew.
everybody's getting plenty excited as they're out on the track now, walking around, getting ready for the 200. Andre DeGrasse and Usain Bolt. Why are they not walking beside each other, hand in hand? They're so far away from one another. And we'll let you know what happens after it happens, because we can't tell you what's happening while it's happening. I believe they'll come and cart us away. They'll put us right in the
handcuffs.
In the handcuffs, yeah. And cart us off. Or maybe just me, then it's your show. Sportsnet tonight with Grant Robinson. All right. Take a break. Grant will have an update. Certainly by then we'll have a whole bunch of information. And still to come, we'll talk Habs. But we won't. We'll listen to the conversation that you missed today on Sportsnet Tonight. This is Sportsnet Tonight on the Sportsnet Central panel with Elias Makos and the rest of the boys. We'll hear that conversation coming up in just a few minutes after Grant's update. Let's take a break and come back. I can't tell you what's going on.
It's official, though.
I can't tell you. So we can tell you. So I told you. I told you when we walked in here today that there was no doubt.
Oh, I thought you meant you told me not to talk about it. I'm like, I didn't say anything.
Okay.
Yeah. You said no doubt.
No doubt he would win the silver medal.
It looked at about 150, but like you said,
that's the way he is. Bolt's the same thing. Bolt, because he's so big and it takes a while to unfurl, right? So because he's so big and it takes him fewer steps, by the time he gets three quarters of the race, he's in first. But it takes DeGrasse a little bit longer, and he managed to win a silver medal. So now he's got a bronze and a silver, and
looking
Bolt
to
has,
add tomorrow.
This is the third time that Bolt has won the 100 and the 200,
and nobody else
has ever done that.
That is, look again. When you talk about athletes and you can't compare sports, I get that. What he's done is incredible. This is a sport where, look at Donovan Bailey. Remember how dominant he was? You never saw him again in it. It is so hard to compete in this. Everybody in the world runs, right? There's no, you know, swimming, you're only competing against swimmers. Think about it.
I know people that don't run.
Well, everybody can run, right? Like, to be the fastest person in the world.
I'll let it go.
But you know what's crazy? He looked like he ran that second 100 meters a little faster than the first 100.
Don't start.
My bad.
All right. Usain Bolt, he's retiring, right?
Yeah, he's gone. He's not waiting another 4 years.
In 4 years.
You know what, though? The way he's running.
I understand.
I think he won't be. But what's funny is people didn't think he'd win last time. Right. Remember? There was the whole question, Phelps and Bolt are done. They've done it for four more years. But truly incredible. DeGrasse. It was a slow time, by the way. I don't know if it was the rain.
20.02. Yeah, the track is wet.
So 20.02. But Usain Bolt, again, almost effortlessly, really. I love watching him. I think it's been like an honor to watch. A lot of people talk about, you know, getting to see the, you know, you watch Michael Jordan play or you watched whoever.
So there were four legitimate medal shots today. And they all came through.
Yep.
So four medals today for Canada. A gold, a silver, and two bronze. Good day. Good day for Canada. I bet we enjoyed our gold, our silver, and two bronze more than the U.S. enjoyed their five gold or whatever it was.
Do you remember yesterday?
They don't know. If you asked Americans to name their, they have no idea. What, when they swept the gold, the silver, and the bronze in the same race? Yesterday?
Did you see that?
Robert Kerr and Percy Williams were the only other two to win the 100 and the 200 twice. And now Bolt has done it three times. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say that the way he did it again, it was very close at the end. But like you said, he closes strong. But he ran hard.
It is not close at the end.
At the end, no. But I mean, at 150, he's fourth.
And what else did I tell you? I told you about this race, and what did I say? I said there would be a significant gap between first and second, and a significant gap between second and third. And in the end, there was, because DeGrasse is running away from everybody, and he is the next one, two, three, four, five guys come in around the same time, and DeGrasse beats them. We were talking 200 meters, right? So in a 200-meter race, look how far ahead he is of everybody else. The next three guys finish across the line. The bronze medal is a photo finish. But the gold
the bronze
silver,
medal is, you're right.
Yeah, the bronze medal was a photo finish. They'll need to have a picture of that. And the way this crazy Olympics has been going with all the ties, I mean, in this day and age of being able to figure out down to a nanosecond, you can't, that's okay. I don't mind more than one guy wins whatever. But there was no doubt who won the gold, and there was no doubt who won the silver.
I think it says a lot about Usain Bolt. If you see how far, you saw when he crossed, it's not even close. I didn't even look at Bolt cross the line. I was watching DeGrasse the whole time. I think that says a lot about DeGrasse as well, that we were watching him. But I can't wait to see this kid race in 4 years. And unlike Ryan Lochte, who's 32 and being called a kid by the IOC, DeGrasse in track and field is really a kid at this point. I know he's an adult, but he is not supposed to be this good yet. He already is. Like you heard Usain Bolt say it. If he learns how to get quicker off the blocks, because he's still one of the slowest starters.
Then what will he do? Beat everybody that's not Bolt?
Well, next Olympics, that's everybody.
He already beat everybody today that wasn't Bolt.
I would love to see. But you know what? Look, Andre DeGrasse wasn't there 4 years ago. He was a name we would have never heard of. So 2 years from now, maybe there's a kid from the States or Jamaica who comes up. It's never going to be easy.
I know. And
there's no guarantees. Ask Perdita.
Got to stay healthy.
Yeah, so that's which is a huge part of it.
Well, it's not likely that DeGrasse is going to trip over a hurdle
well,
somewhere.
You never know.
During one
maybe
of these
he,
100
maybe
or 200.
He starts off early. All I know is it's bronze in the 100 meter, silver in the 200 meter.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, we're going to get to see him again in the 4x100. I asked you earlier, the flag bearer. I'm not saying it won't be Penny Oleksiak. I'm just saying either one of these two,
no.
I would be incredibly proud.
No, it's not going to be DeGrasse.
But
it's
one of
going
them,
to be Penny Oleksiak,
and one of them
is
opening next year.
DeGrasse is going to bring it in
yeah.
4 years from now.
But
that's
might,
the way it's going to go.
She might win a ton in Tokyo as well, right?
It doesn't matter. It's about bringing it in, not about bringing it out. So she won't have won the medals when they walk into the stadium
no, but it's,
to open.
Rosie McLennan got it because she was going to be our best chance at a gold, possibly.
No, Rosie McLennan got it because she probably should have been the one that should have carried it out last time. She won our only gold medal, but the women's soccer team captured
Christine
the nation.
Sinclair, yeah. It was
you know,
absolutely.
They won a bronze medal, and she was the reason. I mean, she was the best soccer player in the world, and Rosie McLennan deserved probably more than the soccer team did to carry.
But like you said, it's what was being talked about. And I see that with, that's kind of my argument with DeGrasse is, who was, look, Penny Oleksiak, it was rough to watch the Olympics at the beginning for Canada. Until she came in, it was some rough times.
I know, but you know what? But they were projected to win 19 medals. What are we at now, 18? We had 18?
Today was a great day, yeah. Is it 18? Or?
I think we're at 18 now.
And look, the way DeGrasse is running, without a mistake, the 4x100 relay looks like a very good chance. The women's soccer is playing for bronze.
Right.
Tomorrow, Melissa Bishop will be running in the 800-meter final. She actually had some good times. Canada has definitely closed better than they started, that's for sure, because it didn't look good at the beginning. DeGrasse is pretty much, DeGrasse and Duane, outside of them, Warner, at least the men showed up now. At one point, it was, what, 12-0?
He's won a silver and a bronze. The guy won a gold in his only event. In the only event that he can win a gold in. Again, it's unfair. You can only jump the high jump one way.
True.
They should do it different ways. And then they can win more medals. And then he could have won 3 gold medals. And then wouldn't he be the guy who was, you know, that's just the way it is.
He could practice and do the decathlon if he wants. Just practice 9 more events.
No, yeah, that's it. All right. Promised you a conversation on the Montreal Canadiens and on Michel Therrien and how they feel about him in the dressing room. That was the conversation today on the Sportsnet Central panel with host Elias Makos. Today with Derek Auquin, Derek Fage, and Lloyd Barker and myself. And we'll hear that when we come back.
Elliot Price. Welcome to Sportsnet tonight.
Every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in.
Get a chair, tell, get a chair.
Smoked meat and fries.
That's good stuff.
Elliot Price on weeknights.
Hi, Ben.
What do you do for an encore? Fall asleep?
Hell yeah.
All right. Promised you the conversation that took place today. A lot of fun. Just a portion of what we talked about on at 6:30 today. You missed that one. It's on again tomorrow at 11. And as usual, it's on twice on the weekend. So your opportunity to catch up with that, and I'll tell you about the times. We talked about the Montreal Canadiens and their situation with how do they feel about the coach, about Michel Therrien. And it's assumed that that there are ill feelings towards Therrien, that the guys talk about him, they're not happy with decisions that he made. And then there was the conversation that we had with Dale Weiss, and now Dale Weiss doing an interview. I think it was Hockey Inside Out, talking about his positive feelings for Michel Therrien. And I thought, well, yeah, of course he has positive feelings for Michel Therrien. That's the guy that helped him get his contract. With Elias Makos, Derek Auquin, Derek Fage, and Lloyd Barker, conversation today from Sportsnet Central, the panel, which you can catch on City TV.
All right, we're back here on the panel. And, you know, last year, tough season for the Canadians. But through all they went through, the players in that locker room never, ever made a whisper of being upset at Michel Therrien. And now Dale Weiss coming out this week in an interview, and he spoke to you a little while back with support for Michel Therrien. Of course, Dale Weiss no longer with the team. What's your take, Elliot? Why are so many?
Let's talk about this individual situation, right? I mean, I didn't even ask him about Therrien. I told him, right? I said, you obviously would have no complaints about the coach. This guy came as a fifth liner from somewhere else. And Michel Therrien played him lines 1, 2, 3, and 4. And he played him a lot. And he played him when a lot of people said you shouldn't be playing. And he played him in situations where people said you shouldn't be playing him. He got this guy his multi-million dollar contract with the Philadelphia Flyers. What are you going to say? Oh, the guy mistreated me? He got him his contract. He's got to love Michel Therrien. Well, it makes total sense.
He was removed from Tortorella's doghouse over in Vancouver, too.
I'm going to take it just a step backwards then, because I get that. But if you look at when things were rough for the Canadians, I thought it really surprising that there weren't any murmurs from the locker room about upset players.
This is hockey, okay? And for the most part, and it's almost 100%, the guys don't make waves, okay? That's just the way it is in the NHL. They don't over-celebrate when they do things, and they calm it down when things are going. That's just the way they've been taught to be in the National Hockey League.
I don't even think, I think it's smart not to say anything. You never know. I mean, as big as the league has become, these coaches, these veteran coaches, they end up going, you know, there's a carousel of the same coaches going to all of the teams. You know, when somebody gets fired, an old veteran gets hired, he may be playing with them, and any of the players could find themselves.
You hear, you know, John Tortorella's gotten flack publicly from players. That happens.
He's John Tortorella.
He's a different animal.
He asked for it. Michel Therrien,
just one example.
I understand, but Michel Therrien wasn't an in-your-face call you out, except if you were PK.
Yeah, well, that's
So PK was the only one that had a legitimate opportunity to take a shot at the coach. But generally, he didn't take shots at anybody. Nothing was public.
What are you going to say about the coach? I don't like his tactics. I think the trainings are terrible.
You've lost 9 of the last 10, and to hear a player go, oh, well, you know what, we're just not, you know, to make a little underhanded comment. I'm surprised we didn't hear that. What I'm saying is, perhaps Michel Therrien gets a bad rap. That's what I'm trying to say. He's actually well liked by players, and that's really important.
Well, I don't know
record.
I think
he's tolerable.
tolerate him.
Usually in a team, don't you have like 8 guys that love the coach, 8 guys that hate, and then the coach has to manage the 8 that aren't sure, right? That's sort of how it works.
I think Eric Johnson last week when Patrick Roy left the Avalanche, and he said 90% of the guys, and he says that's an amazing total. 90% of the guys love playing for Patrick Roy, and they're going to be very disappointed he's gone.
We got to move on and talk about the captain of this team, Max Pacioretty, holding his charity golf tournament this week.
Holding his captaincy.
That's right, and raising a lot of money for a good cause. And he was asked about who's got to sort of step up, have a breakout season. He points out Nathan Beaulieu and Sven Andrighetto. Is he right? Who are you looking for? Who do you need? Who do you think has to have a breakout season?
Beaulieu will have a better season. If they team him with Shea Weber and your production doesn't go up, there's big trouble there. I think it's a no-brainer if he gets paired up with Shea Weber, he's going to have a better season.
Beaulieu should have been the guy last year, okay? And every time it looked like he was heading in the right direction, somehow his ice time became lesser. And there's no way this guy becomes the player you want him to be unless they play him with Weber or unless he gets ice time. You got to play. You got to be out there and have the confidence that I'm out here being treated like a significant player, and so I am one. You know, you need them to play you in the biggest spots.
I feel morale is very good. I think as we're heading into the season, all the buzz that I hear, guys are excited. A lot of people have to have good years, and Michel Therrien too, because he has a good team. There's a lot of pressure on him because they got PK's out, but there's a good team there that's going to be suited up, and there's a lot of pressure. But I think a lot of guys that have another year under their belt, we're expecting some good things, but the morale is very good.
Including Max Pacioretty.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's just move on. One quick item for the week. The Canadians have announced the three finalists for the team name, the nickname of the new Laval AHL team that'll start playing in 2017. Well, we got the Patriots, we got the Rapid, and we got the Rocket. Any no-brainers here? I think it's got to be the Rocket.
You got to go with the Rocket.
Right?
If you're down to three and those are the choices.
That's it. Those are the three.
I would have gone with the Nordique. I thought that would
really stick it to Quebec.
You know what?
No?
Right. If you're Bell and as I take that video, Tron, right. Take that.
What do you do?
Love is but a song we sing. Fears we will die.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, you can catch it. See, I've got it now. It's on again tomorrow night at 11. Sportsnet Central panel here in Montreal. It's on City TV. And again on the weekend, Saturday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And at 11 o'clock tomorrow night, all right? Airs Thursday at 6:30, Friday at 11 p.m., and Saturday at 3 and 6:30. Got it? Got it. I will take a break. We'll come back, and we'll shut her down.
Oh, yeah, it's summer, Montreal, and we've got all the greatest hits right here on 1280 AM, Montreal.
Yeah! It kind of started with Steve Anthony, who said no to a job.
What happened to Therrien's laugh? I always like that when it finishes off with that. Hey, great day for Canada. Four medals, a gold, a silver, and two bronze, and up to nine. Is that right? What do we got? 19? 18. 18 medals for Canada.
18 and four gold.
Okay.
And you know what? Look, I know some of these silver, but again, it's the events they're winning them in. I'm very excited. 18, four, three silver. King of the bronzes, though. We should have a copper medal handed out. We should have a copper one handed out.
Sorry,
because we have a lot of fourths.
We're queen. Queen of the bronzes.
Queen.
That's right. There's a lot more ladies.
I like that.
Have won medals than men. Thank you very much to Alex Agostino coming on, talking baseball with us tonight. Also, DK, Daniel Kalis, as he counts them down tomorrow night, number 14, as we march towards number one in the National Football League. Thank you to Sportsnet Central and the panel. And Elias Makos for allowing us to use their audio. And coming up tomorrow night, we'll get you ready for UFC 202. Gabe Morenci has confirmed he will be here tomorrow. Told you about DK and team number 14. Soccer weekend will be coming our way, so that should be a lot of fun with the women playing for bronze tomorrow. We'll talk to Jorge Sanchez. and the Impact playing on the weekend at home. Giovanni Sardo will be here to get you ready for the Impact. But now, my friends, it is time to dance.
I dig it.
Me too. Sing it, Tone Loke.
Cooling at a bar, and I'm looking.
He is dancing, by the way. He's feeling it. I love it.
Thanks to Santiago Betancourt for putting it all together behind the board.
None of them want to get with me.
Hey, thanks to our executive producer. What a low city. The girls were ready,
at the other end of the bar.
On behalf of Grant Robinson, I'm Elliot Price. So I got up. Have you missed any part of the show? We're on sportsnet.ca. You can find us.
Why you so fly?
Also on iTunes to listen to the podcast. We'll see you tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. See ya!